Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Well, I'm going to jump straight into the word because this word has been sitting in my heart for a while. And it's crazy because every time I share a word, I'm like, Lord, make sure it matches with the songs. Because I don't know if it's the right thing. And, you know, from the get-go, from our devotion this morning, from Pastor Son, even from the prayers that we had this morning and then the songs that we sang, it's just all about God's presence and the habitation of the Lord. And, you know, it's timely because the Lord said, talk to them about my dwelling place. So today we're going to talk about God's dwelling place. If you want to open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians 6, and we're going to start from verse 16. I know it might sound very upfront, but just know that the Lord's heart is for us and not against us. And this is word for us. So he spoke to me so strongly about this one because he convicted me first. And he's asked me to live this life. But he reminded me that this is his heart. So let's read together. 2 Corinthians from chapter 6 to 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. And then I will welcome you and I will be a father to you and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. I'm just going to read from that verse again. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst, be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Church, we are God's dwelling place. You and I, we are God's dwelling place. And I want to remind us all that God's dwelling place is holy. Because God is holy. Therefore, God is calling his church, all of us, back to holiness. And he doesn't want you to be afraid of that word holy. It sounds so otherworldly because it is. Because only God is holy. But as we heard from our communion today, you know, Jesus has made a way. Jesus has paved the way. And we have become holy because of him and what he has done. But it is also a reminder for us that if we carry this faith, our Christianity is not an optional extra. It's not an add-on. It's something that we put on Sunday before we go to church and take it off when we get home. You know, like what Pastor Dave was sharing before when he was praying, you know, this, Lord, our cry is to just be with you, to sit at your feet. After this service and to the next every day, this has to be the cry of our hearts, seeking his presence because we are God's dwelling place. This means, you know, when you live for Jesus, when you say yes to Jesus, it means denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following him. Jesus said this in Matthew 16, 24 to 25. You know, we are not meant to stay the same. We are called to be transformed. And as we see in our passage, God himself revealed his heart to his people. That's what Paul said. As God said. It's not what Paul said. As God said. I will make my dwelling. Therefore, go out and be separate. Touch, then I will come to you and I will be a father to you. Church, this is the Lord speaking to us. This is His love letter to us. Says the Lord Almighty, the Bible, church. I know it's got things that we don't understand, but the Lord is inviting us to know Him, discover it, sit on anything and everything that you read, because this is His love letter and He wants you to enjoy it, to savor it, and even come to Him for any question or things that don't make sense, or things that are just so out of whack, because there are stories that are out of whack in the Bible. So He wants you to come to Him and explore these things, but know that in His heart, this is a love letter to us, His people. You know, God Himself is revealing His heart. And how good is it that our God, the God that we serve, reveals Himself to us? God Himself, in this passage, said He wants us to be His dwelling place. He wants us to be holy, and He wants to be a father to us. So what is our response? We're going to explore these things. And, you know, I'm so excited to share this word. You know, it's crazy because I've been sick the whole week. The whole family has been sick. And last night I had the worst migraine. And I was begging the Lord, Lord, am I going to make it or not? But thank the Lord I'm here. Praise Jesus. So we're just going to pray. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you that your holy presence is here, and may we not take this moment lightly. But I thank you that you don't condemn us, O Lord, and you welcome us and you invite us in to meet with you, to know you, to commune with you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that through Jesus we have this connection with you where we can come to you anytime. We don't have to go to a certain place or certain room or, you know, go to a certain building to meet with you, but you are everywhere and you are in us, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, Lord, I pray that as we hear this word, as we hear your heart, I pray, Lord, that we will fall in love with you more than anything else, God. I pray that we will leave aside our fears and worries. We leave them at the feet of the cross and look to you and see that your eyes are full of love and grace and mercy. We love you. Thank you. Thank you. We love because you first loved us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, it's just a little bit of context about Corinthians. You know, Paul helped establish the church in Corinth. He spent 18 months loving on the wonderful people of the Corinthian church. And it says that I was reading a commentary, and Paul saw himself as a father to them. Through the gospel, he corrected them, he discipled them, and he did life with these people for a certain period of time. You know, just like a shepherd, he cared for them, he disciplined them, but it was not easy. We see in the letters, the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the challenge of living a Christian life in a pagan world. The Corinthians struggled to separate themselves from the culture of the time. There was idol worship, there was mysticism, there was New Age ideology. There's all about philosophy. There's personality, politics, worldly wisdom masked as biblical truth. There were super apostles coming down pretending that, you know, they're there to share the gospel. They started talking bad about Paul, saying that Paul is boring, Paul is always angry, don't listen to him, listen to us. Basically, they were preaching a different gospel. They didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. They thought that the kingdom is now. They were saying all these things that were just untrue and unbiblical. And the thing is, They welcomed this in their household, in their gatherings. And what really grieved Paul's heart was they were physically Christian, but mentally pagan. They could not separate that mindset, that culture from the life that they were called to live. And that is Christ-centered. the worldview was still according to their culture. May this not be of us, church. Let be separate. Let's be transformed. Let's be transformed through the Holy Spirit, by the power of the cross, through the reading of the word, through our gatherings, through our prayer, through our just daily devotion and repentance. Because day in, day out, the enemy will try to pull you away from the truth. But the Lord is always saying, come, come, come to me. I welcome you. Come to me. You know, in Paul, he called this, the 2 Corinthians actually, the letter of tears. He was so grieved. The people that he loved and shepherded and cared for had suddenly been attacking him because of all these things. Paul said in his letter, he charged them to imitate him the way he has imitated Christ. We are not called to blend in, church. We are called to bring in a different culture. According to the commentary that I was reading, you know, we are called to bring in Christ-centered culture, one characterized by the cross, by grace, by love, by reconciliation. We live in an upside-down kingdom. This is God's kingdom. And the letter to the Corinthians, and I invite you to read it and just take the time to really understand what was going on. We see here that there is power in weakness, there is triumph in tragedy, there is strength in vulnerability, and death leading to life. This is the kingdom that we live in. The weak is strong. How crazy is that? In my weakness, I am strong. Where does that come from? Only from the Lord. It's so upside down. It's opposite. And I love it because at kids' church, we have a lesson about the upside down kingdom. It's so good. We are called to live differently. We are called to be the dwelling place of a holy God. But let me be the first one to say that it is hard. It is so flipping hard to live this life. You have the pull of sin everywhere. There's complacency, temptation, pride, envy. When you look at social media and things are going well, this person's doing well, I'm like, I want that. I really want that. There's hostility when you're driving and someone cuts you off and someone's trying to merge in, but you've been waiting for so long in traffic and suddenly this car just cuts the line and you have to give way. I'm like, oh, do I have to give way? I have to give way. You would know if you you do school drop-offs. Okay, guys, it's hard. And, you know, all these things. And then there's also the desire to just switch off, to not care, especially after a long day's work. You're like, oh, I don't want to do anything. I just want to doom scroll and not care about anything. Who's here when you drive in, you're in a car park at home, you just sit in the car for a bit. Sit in the car for a little bit. I'll just be on my phone, catch up on emails, look at the news. Who's been messaging me or read this, read that? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to go in. I have to clean. I have to do the dishes. I have to think about dinner. Oh my gosh, guys. I have to think about dinner every day. It's one of me and Levi's struggle. And the kids are always hungry. We should make it a thing to fast sometimes. That way we don't have to worry about dinner. We just pray. Oh my God. And the thing is, the kids are always hungry. And every time you do shopping, you get everything for the week, but they finish it within 2 days. It's expensive. I love my boys, don't get me wrong. And also, I asked for permission if I could share these things, and they said yes. Because they heard that I'm preaching today, and Noah was like, are you going to talk about us? I'm like, yes, is that okay? I love them. You know, all these things, okay, it's really hard. Who here feels the same? Let's all be real. It's so hard. And you know, God sees it. And like I said, God is not against us. He's for us. It says in the Bible that Jesus was tempted in every way, human way possible. And we heard in Pastor Levi's preaching last week, he was tempted, but he had overcome, you know, which means, yes, he's perfect, but we can trust in the words that he said. We can trust in him. We can come to him and say, Lord, you overcome this. Help me overcome. Yeah. But you know, it's hard. You want to do the right thing, but you end up doing the opposite. You know, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Yeah. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Romans 7, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our anchor, hope, salvation. Hebrews 4 said, like I said, he was tempted, but he did not sin. We can follow him and do as he says. He is our ultimate example. Like what Paul says to the Corinthians, imitate me the way I've imitated Christ. Let's imitate Jesus, church. Let's not be like a preacher there or this gospel preacher there on social media. Let's be like Jesus. Let's follow his examples. Let's honor our leaders. Let's honor the gospel preachers, but let us look to Jesus as our ultimate example. Humans fail. We all fail, but Jesus never failed. That's what makes him trustworthy. God has given us every tool to overcome. Let's look to Jesus. Which brings me to my first point. It is God who gives. It is God who saves. It is God who makes a way. And, you know, we are messy. We are problematic. Yet God said he wants us to be his dwelling place. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling place, my dwelling among them, walk among them, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. You know, it's crazy because Paul actually quoted Leviticus here. It meant that God, from the very beginning, before the time of the Corinthians, God had been speaking and saying, I want to be with my people. I want to be with you guys. It has always been the Lord reaching out to us. We see in Genesis when he created man, he fashioned them into his likeness. And when Adam and Eve sinned, you know what God did? He covered them and clothed them. Oh, and they were ashamed for what they have done. When Cain killed Abel, Cain was complaining to the Lord about the consequences about his own actions. Sounds like me. But you know what? God said, no, I got you. I will protect you. And then at the time of Noah, when sin was rampant and the Lord was so grieved because the people were so far from him, they were deep into sin, God made a way to save humanity through Noah and the ark. And then we meet Abram, who becomes Abraham. And if you know that story, God did something incredible, something extraordinary. He made a covenant. He made the covenant. He made a promise saying that, I will give you this much descendants, as many as the stars that you see, and I will be their God. Genesis 17:7, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring, after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God didn't say, do this, do that, do this, do that, and I will be your God. No, God said, I will be your God. I will give you descendants. I will give you offsprings when you were barren, but I will give you something and I will be your God. God always, always makes the first move. God came into the world he created. Though we rejected him, he said, I will come after you anyway. I will continue to come after you because of his great love. He wants us. He wants to be with us. He wants us to come to him, to know him. He wants us to love him. Church, the ball is on our court. What is our response? And you know, we see in Exodus, they were in Egypt when they were oppressed and they were crying to the Lord. Exodus 3 says here, the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and heard their cry, and I have come down to deliver them out of the Egyptians and bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey. Ever since humanity fell into sin, God had been making way for salvation. He is in the business of salvation. Tell the person next to you, God is in the business of salvation. And we can see in the pages of the Old Testament, there's that tangible gap because of sin. But you know what the best part is? The best part is God was never far away. He was always doing something. He was always in their business. He was always helping them out. He heard the cries of the people. He heard their prayers. Even if it was a problem of their own doing, God was there to save them. How good is this God, church, that we serve? He wanted to be with his people. And why would he go to such lengths? Because he's a promise keeper. He said that I will be their God and he will never ever go back on his word. So if he was the God of the people then and we are called God's people, he remains our God today. And you know what? The best thing, he said, I'm going to dwell with them. And his presence is a mark that they were God's people. God's presence in us is a mark that we are God's people. We belong to someone. You belong to the Almighty God, the creator of heavens and the earth. And he said, I want to be with you. I want to dwell with you. I want to spend time with you. And you know, when we continue to read Exodus, they were in the desert and after their escape from Egypt, the Lord said in Exodus 25, listen to this, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Wow, come on, that is incredible. And I thought, you know, this happened after Jesus, you know, went up to heaven and made the way. But actually, this is from the very beginning. As soon as man fell, God had a plan. No, that happened, but I will make a way for that to be restored. That relationship will be restored. Anytime, church, anytime you feel alone, unloved, unwanted, misunderstood, know that there is a God who wants to be with you, who wants to know you, who sees you, who loves you. And this God is the one true living God. Come on, church, let's just honor our God in this place. He is the one true living God. You know, in Ephesians 1:13, it says, in him, or you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believe in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit today. And it's such a blessing that God is in our midst. Church, we are God's dwelling place. Now in point two, God wants us to be holy. In verse 17, therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, then I will come to you. It's crazy. Paul quoted Isaiah this time in chapter 52. Depart. This is also the Lord speaking to the Israelites at the time when they were deep in sin. Depart. Go out from there, from the pagan nations. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from their midst. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. You who bear the vessels of the Lord. You know, church, becoming a dwelling place of God requires holiness. Paul had to remind the Corinthians that as God's people, they must preserve holiness. There were people who rebelled against Paul, as I said earlier. They were promoting a different lifestyle and they were preaching a different gospel. That's why in verse 14 and 15 of 2 Corinthians 6, it says, have nothing to do with lawlessness, darkness, and Satan. When it says Belial, that's another word for Satan. Any gospel that preaches a counterfeit Jesus is antichrist. So anything that is just not right in your spirit, rebuke that. Have nothing to do with it. Be separate from them. Church, this is a standard. Hear this from the kind heart of the Lord. This is our standard. The standard is God's holiness. God is inviting us to welcome his holiness and live that kind of life once again. As God's dwelling place, as a church, we are called to be holy for he is holy. When God commanded Moses and the people to build the tabernacle, it wasn't an easy task. God was very specific. If you guys read Exodus and Leviticus, God had requirements. God appointed certain people to do certain things. It wasn't just a random person. It was very intentional. Every measurement exact. Every element perfect and valuable. You know, when God said in Exodus 25:8, let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell in their midst. Right after that, in verse 9, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all of its furniture, so you shall make it. Exactly as the Lord has said. Israel is to follow a pattern to build the sanctuary. as the Lord has shown Moses. Why? Because obedience to God's command will show that the people fear, honor, revere him. Obedience to every detail is important because the structure itself will teach the people what it means to have a holy God dwell among them. When God called us to be holy, when God called us to be his sanctuary, he knew that this will be his dwelling place, but we have to take care of this temple. Church, we have to look after our health. We have to look after our minds. We have to look after our hearts, not just in the spirit, but everything in between. This is the Lord's temple. And if God is with us, let's look after it. Let that be our goal this year, to really look after our overall body and health and spirit and mind, because God is with us. And you know, it's not only in your own strength. God doesn't want you to do things in your own strength. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us, will lead us. And just like I said earlier, Jesus, he is trustworthy. Let's follow in his example, and his hand is never too short to help us. You know, God, it says here, God is kind, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. But it says also in Psalm 7, verse 11, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. He hates sin. Let's say it for what it is. God hates sin. It is everything that is against him, against his character and his ways. And the worst part, it destroys his beautiful creation. It destroys our relationship with him. It destroys our humanity. It destroys us. Sin does that. That's why he hates it so bad. And as God's holy temple, church, we can't have God and sin in the same room. You know, in the Old Testament, as we keep reading, when the temple was finally built, it's not just a temporary tabernacle, it's a physical temple. There's also a room, an inner sanctuary, the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant is placed. It was here that God would speak to the people at the time. He would appear as a cloud, and only high priest could come in. And he would need to do rigorous ritual cleansing tasks before coming into the room. Why? Because God is holy and sin cannot be in the presence of God. Can we go back to holding this kind of reverence before God? Sin can't be in the presence of God. But this kind of reverence, let me remind you, church, is different from, oh, I'm afraid of making sins, otherwise God's going to reject me. No. This reverence is like, I don't want to get myself dirty. I have a meeting with this special person. It's like coming to a date. Like, I remember when it was Pastor Lee and I's first date. I remember my mom actually was not wanting me to go. But all is well. As you know, we're almost married 10 years. Praise the Lord. You know, I would try to make myself look the best. And it's just so special. I'm so excited. I want to be so presentable because, you know, I'm so excited to meet with him. And, you know, let's see it like that instead of being afraid of coming. Oh, I'm going to make a mistake. I'm not worthy. No, God has a meeting with you. He wants to meet with us. That's what he said. I will make my dwelling place with them. And just know that that is meeting is with us, his people. You know, I'm not talking about legalism where you have to do this or that to meet with God. Remember, it was God who made the first move. Jesus has already cleansed us. His sacrifice on the cross, the blood of Jesus meant that we are justified before God. Justified means we are cleansed. We are purified. The sin in us is no longer. He has already taken care of that. Jesus also said in Corinthians that Jesus became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. All of God's wrath against sin is poured out on Jesus so that we can become holy. So let's live that identity, live in that identity that God has called us and made us holy. We are declared righteous before God so that we have access access to his presence 24/7. Back then, they had to go to a certain time, meet with certain people before. They actually had no access to the Holy of Holies. But guess what, church? Today, I felt like we had access to the Holy of Holies in our worship. Thank you, worship team, for leading us so beautifully. And church, when you come with your heart wide open, even if you feel unworthy, you just say, it's like what Pastor Zay was saying, if you come, you just say, I want you, I just want you, I want to be with you. The Lord meets with you. The Lord will meet you right where you are. But church, you know, we are declared righteous, but as God's dwelling place, let's prepare it. Let's prepare this dwelling place individually and corporately as a church. You know, it says in the Bible, it also says in John 14, Jesus has prepared a place for us in his Father's house. Why don't we prepare a place for him too, for his presence? 1 Peter 1, it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Therefore, go out from their midst, be separate from them. Church, let's be separate. Touch no unclean thing. Have nothing to do with lawlessness, darkness, and the works of Satan. We know what they are. We have the gift of discernment through the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. It's not so much to avoid this, avoid that. Let's think of it as, God, I just want to see you clearly. I don't want anything to get in the way. I love what Matt was sharing last week in his devotion when something was in the eye, as, you know, when he was on his motorbike. It's like that with sin. Sin will put something in our eyes that we can't see clearly. But God, and I love that, but God, he has taken care of sin. All we got to do is come to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry for this. I want to come to you. I want to come to you. I want to come and meet with you. It was always God making the first move. Why? Because he wants our relationship with him restored. Like I said earlier, it has always been God. From the very beginning, from the moment Adam and Eve fell into sin, God already had a plan to restore that relationship. If I could just invite the van. As I finish with this third point, God wants to be a father to us. You know, as I told you my story growing up, we didn't have our dad growing up because he was overseas working, but it was the most joyous time when he would come for holidays, and I was so happy. I was so excited to see him. And it's just like that. God wants to be with his people. You know, our Father just wants to be with us. He wants to be with you, church, individually, corporately. You know, Levi loves spending time with the boys, and he gets upset sometimes when they don't want to give him hugs and kisses. They always say, oh, you're too hairy, Dad, it's too spiky. Or maybe because they're just mama's boys, I don't know. But it's all funny, but deep inside it hurts him because he feels rejected. He kind of has to force the hug sometimes. But, you know, when we reject God, when we say we don't want to spend time, we just can't be bothered, we do this and do it, we're too busy, that breaks his heart too. You know, Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are adopted into God's family through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. 1 John 3, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that they did not know God. Beloved, we are God's children now. Say this to yourself. I am a child of God. And we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, when Jesus comes, we shall be like him. Because we shall see him as he is. We will see him physically. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Church, God wants us to be his dwelling place. But he also wants us to be holy. But ultimately, all of this is because he wants to be a father to us. verse 18, I will be a father to you and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. That is our identity, church. Why don't we stand? You know, I don't want to be known as anything else. I hate attention, as you can tell. On my workplace, they tried to sing happy birthday to me, but I was hiding the whole time. I don't want it. But one thing that I want to be known for is my love for Jesus. I want to be a great lover of Jesus, and let this be the cry of our hearts. You know why? Because Jesus, he says in the word that we love because he loved first. God is not looking for perfect people. He just wants a heart open to him, a heart that would welcome him. You know, in the Bible, it says there, he is knocking at the door of our hearts. Would we let come? Can we let him in? Would you let him in, church? Let's close our eyes in this moment. No one looking around. And we're coming to a time, church, where there's so much evil and lawlessness and works of darkness around us. And where is the world? Where is everyone going to look to? We are representing the light of God that is holy, that will bring hope, that will bring goodness, that will welcome them, that will allow them to come in safely and not feel judged. And that is who we are. Because we are a broken people. We are a group of broken people, healed and restored, and continues to heal and continues to be restored in his presence. But let us make it our goal to be a holy dwelling place of God. Let it be our goal to not be a part of anything evil. Say no to sin, say no to temptation. And when we feel weak and when we feel like we have fallen, just know that the Lord is there with you. He will never reject you. He will help you get up. Just like a child that has fallen, who will run back to his father and say, oh, I've hurt myself. The Lord will not reject you. The Lord will embrace you and heal you until you are ready to go out to run again. Church, let's respond today with worship. Let's respond today saying, Lord, I want you to live in me. I want to be your dwelling place. I want to be holy. I want to be a child to you. Let's just take a moment for the Lord to minister to us as we sing to him.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.